John Giorno contributes a chapter that asks or answers the question, what should a distinctively American foreign policy do? Now, this is a place where traditionally I think a lot of objectivists and libertarians kind of part company a little bit. How does the book answer that question? What is a distinctively American foreign policy?
Well, government has a real important role. And this is a great debates in libertarian circles, I know, and anarchist circles, Nick, about what is the proper role of government. And Journal answers, and I believe answers, Ayn Rand answers, that the government is our agent of self-defense. That's what it is. That's its essential role, is securing our freedom to pursue our goals. And just as police and courts are essential, we need an effective military force to protect our freedom through foreign threats. And that's a big part of the proper role of government, is to eliminate and neutralize and defang of foreign threats to our country.
So does that military, I guess in the objectivist world, as opposed to the libertarian world, and again, these are kind of like overlapping, but distinct circles, where does that leave us, say, vis-a-vis year 18 in Afghanistan or being in Iraq? Are these, from a Randian perspective, were these mistakes or were they righteous operations that went wrong, or are they actually still righteous operations?
Well, I'll let Alon's work speak for itself, but my belief, and I think a lot of objectivism would put forth, Nick, that that militant Islam Islam is a threat to this country. But building schools, to kind of use that old tired catchphrase that I think is really true, building schools or helping the Muslim people or bringing democracy to the Middle East is not the proper way to protect American interests in the Middle East or anywhere else in the world. That the idea of a American government is to eliminate the threat to us, eliminate the threat to Americans, and then truly, yes, come home. So in a proper American, self-interested American foreign policy starts with eliminating the threat by force, eliminating forces of Americans by force, and then leaving it to others to build democracy, to create schools, to build the roads. That's not America, the American military's role.
Is that something that has changed? And I realize, we're talking about Rand and then Randian-inspired people and things like that. But, the difference between, say, right after World War II and the Cold War and now, it seems that, because Rand was more militant. I mean, she was certainly anti-communist, and she believed in taking the fight to communist countries, right?
Yes, absolutely. She was explicitly anti-communist, explicitly anti-collectivist. And a foreign policy, Journal writes, Nick, a foreign policy is one that embraces this notion of individual rights. And the idea that, look, if there are threats to this country, if there's enemies to this country, then it's absolutely proper to eliminate those threats, eliminate them resoundingly, and that's only by pursuing, or eliminating these enemies can every American be free to pursue his or her own self-interest. And that's exactly what Rand believed, what Journo talks about in detail.
Was she in favor of the Vietnam War?
She was against the Vietnam War, Nick, and actually writes not in the book, but writes in pretty detail about her feelings on the Vietnam War. Yes, absolutely.
Well, let's turn to one of the chapters that you yourself contributed, which explains why there should be no death tax or no estate tax.
Good morning. Good afternoon, actually. It's December the 5th at 12:31 p.m. This is your host, Michael J. Long. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. So that was a segment from the episode of apparently from the Reason podcast, America really was the first country founded on individualism, which I agree with. Nick Galupsi, I think, however you pronounce his name, was the host of this show, and he was interviewing. He was interviewing Jonathan Hoeing, Hoeing or something, like, however you say his last name. And if you want to listen to this podcast, you can find it and download today's episode, because that's where it was. And basically, I disagree with where he was getting at with the foreign policy, because I don't think our interest is mainly our own country. Now, you know, and I wanted to read to you where the Libertarian Party in and itself stands on this matter. But first off, let me explain that the Libertarian Party is against a foreign policy whereby the U.S. military is invading other countries in the name of, you know, American interests. And so that's one point that I wanted to get across. The LP stands highly against it, and even most libertarians, the majority of libertarians, are against that type of policy. And I don't know much about Ayn Rand or where she stood on that issue per se, because I never read her policies on that. But Libertarian Party on Foreign Policy. And I will submit to you that the LP is against that type of foreign policy. All right, let me read to you where the Libertarian Party stands on foreign policy. It's titled as Libertarians Seek a United States at Peace with the World. So by that, I'm referring to the American Libertarian Foreign Policy as listed on its site through lp.org, which happens to be the party of principle. And I'm just going to read it to you so you can have an understanding of where the LP stands on this matter. The United States relies too heavily on our mighty might, military might, in foreign policy. For more than a decade, our country has been waging active wars in the Middle East. This left our military tired, with several thousand dead and many more thousands wounded physically and mentally. A decade ago, the United States entered into nation building, thinking it would help improve corners of the world that terrorists find opportunistic. Sadly, some of the nation building which our country entered into, with generally good intentions, has backfired. We now know that no matter how philosophically, our military, I don't know how to spell that word, but it's S-O-P-H-I-S-T-I-C-A-T-E-D, philosophically, our military is, and no matter how much money we spend, nation building is far more complicated than that we originally thought. Additionally, it may likely create more terrorists than it quells. Imagine if China had a military base in Montana, or Russia had a military base in Texas. How would Americans feel about that? We would likely feel insulted, oppressed, and mad. Some Americans would likely seek to actively oppose those bases, and then escalation would continue. That is what we have seen in the Middle East with our involvement there. Libertarians believe that war is justified only in defense. We are opposed to a draft. If a war is just and necessary, Americans of all backgrounds will volunteer to fight it. We believe that a draft enforced by law is no different from slavery. Libertarians believe that American foreign policy should focus more heavily on developing communications among peoples and finding peaceful resolutions to disagreements. We believe in maintaining a military that can defend us well if we are attacked. And we believe part of this is ensuring that our troops are not so war-weary as they have been in recent years. So in other words, the Libertarian Party is, what it's saying is that the Libertarian Party opposes this idea where we can invade, and I agree with this, that we shouldn't be bombing other countries for the sake of trade interests or others when we can sit down and negotiate. And in fact, most of these, you know, around the world and stuff. So, you know, I think where the LP is, what the Libertarian Party states and what we're trying to get at is that through free trade around the world in other countries and through resolutions and stuff like that, we can get our point across and be more efficient and reliable at it in terms of quelling any foreign threat that may arise without the need to invade or bomb or attack or whatever. So, I mean, like I said, our interests are mainly that of the United States of America in its defense, meaning that if an enemy comes and invades our country or attacks us, we have a right to defend ourselves and our loved ones and our property and have a military that will derail and counterattack them and drive them off our coast. And, you know, they're allowed to defend their military bases they have within the vicinity, within the United States. But the idea of having foreign bases around the world and imposing our will in the name of protecting American interests or spreading democracy around the world, you know, it's that idea that I and the Libertarian Party opposes, because it does, and what the LP is saying is that it doesn't lead to anything successful anyways. And, you know, and I think it's high time that we start minding our own business and let these countries sort out their own problems. And then, you know, that's probably what we really should be doing with regards to foreign policy. I think our foreign policy, again, the one that we've been pursuing since the end of World War II, and even before, when you look back, the First World War was a disgrace. However, the Second World War was justified, as was the Revolution and the Civil War on the side of the Union. And the reason why I say that the World War II was justified was because the Germans and the Japanese were intending to invade and attack us and all that. And even then, our Congress declared war on them, so it wasn't like we just do, you know. So, anyways, if you like what you hear, please send your questions in through anchor.fm/MichaelJLong, and I will get to them probably around the next podcast. I'm Michael J. Long, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.